from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. He is the voice of the Dallas Metroplex. He is Sean Sharif. How you doing, Sean?
The voice of the Metroplex. I like the ring of that. It's. I wish it was more accurate, but I like the ring of it. You can just refer to me as that. I'll take it.
You know, I voted for you in the poll. I figured I had to give you some love there because you are the point man over there. And just for some reason, nobody else remembered you were in the survey there.
Well, our listeners are a bunch of smartasses, and they probably figured that it would drive me crazy being dead last. So they voted a bunch of our producer guys at the very top. So I'll have to deal with it. But I appreciate you and my mom voting for me. I got two votes.
Hey, there you go. And of course, you're on with Coach Haywood Hill, the King ATL, and Reggie Walker. I myself, Jeremy York, and Cody Elias from 95.7 out in the Bay Area. You may have you guys did the crossover episode with them, right?
Yeah, I think we went back. That's the game, right? I think we went back and forth to the game when we were making fun of the 49ers.
Yes, you did, and it was a good time as a 49er fan. I truly enjoyed it because I buy into the hype of how bad that team is being run right now. So it was a good time. My guys really enjoyed that conversation with you guys.
Same here.
But obviously we bring you on because not only do you work in Dallas, but you guys have got to see up close the way Dak and this offense has ran and the way this, as everybody around the nation calls them, the misfit toys or whatever on defense, the Cowboys have actually been pretty good this year.
Yeah, Rod Marinelli, their defensive coordinator, refers to them as the orphans, the group of people that nobody wanted. David Irving, Cedric Thornton, Terrell McClain, Tank Lawrence, a bunch of no-name linebackers except for Sean Lee since they lost. They didn't have Jalen Smith this year. Anthony Hitchens is back there. So a bunch of no-name guys on this defense that has really surprised everyone, especially me, with how they've played this season, not giving up 100-yard rushers and not giving up big-time point totals in games where the Cowboys could be involved in shootouts. Of course, a lot of that credit goes to the offensive line, time of possession in the running game, but Rob Marinelli has obviously done a phenomenal job to no-name guys.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jeremy. That was on me. So,
man, yeah, I just dropped a knowledge bomb. The silence of the room, a knowledge bomb.
That was all those minds blowing right there, Sean. That's what that was.
Yeah, right.
So going back a little bit, because obviously there was a lot of controversy and talk about the whole Tony Romo versus Dak Prescott and who should be playing and who shouldn't. What I want to ask you is, I mean, it's obvious that you can't keep a $20 million backup quarterback. What do you think Dallas' plans are for Tony after the season is over?
Well, I think Jerry Jones, being the ultimate negotiator he is, his pipe dream is to get Tony to renegotiate and stay here as a backup. That's what I think Jerry wants to do, and he's so good, he probably has a little belief that he can do it. In reality, they're going to have to trade him. And, I was looking at maximum a third-round pick before the Philadelphia game where he only played one series. But you know how sports fans, we aren't the only ones that are emotional. General managers, owners, coaches, obviously everyone makes stupid decisions all the time. So I feel like maybe we could even be talking about a first-round pick after Tony looked as good as he did against Philadelphia. Maybe a first, maybe a second, maybe make it conditional based upon snaps played because of his injury history. You do it in terms of if his team gets a certain amount of wins or if they make the playoffs. But the teams that have been thrown out there, obviously the Denver Broncos, the Houston Texans, for me a wild card, the Arizona Cardinals, for me a wild card team could be someone like the New York Jets. But, in all likelihood, Tony Romo has played his last snap as a Dallas Cowboy against the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, there are some people that want Tony to come into – this is insane. This is usually Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith garbage that's thrown out just to get web clicks. But there are some people that want Tony Romo to come into this game on Sunday if the Cowboys are even down 10 points. I think that's ludicrous. That's insane. That's an emotional yo-yo. There's a column written about it that kind of went national and viral. But you got some Romo fans that are still married to number 9, and they haven't ruled him out even for this game against Green Bay.
Right. Sounds a lot like when we were going through the whole Mike Vick, Matt Ryan debacle shortly after that. It was, trust me, there's still fans now as witnessed by the game when Mike Vick came back as part of the last, regular season game at the Dome. I mean, it was electric. It was, everybody was doing standing ovations, and it was screaming and yelling, and there's still some fans that wish he could come back. And I'm like, let's move on.
I did a segment after Christmas that if your family got you a number 9 jersey, they don't love you as a Christmas gift. Because they're giving these – that's like getting a Manziel jersey, you know, like not as bad, but they're discounting these things. They're giving away off the rack, and people are still getting number 9 jerseys. And I'm like, let it go. He's been buried. He's 6 feet under. Don't get the shovel out and try to dig him back up. But you still have some people that want to win their way. They just want the Cowboys to win. They got to have the Cowboys win with their guy at quarterback.
Well, Sean, you know, one of the things, you know, heading into this game, Aaron Rodgers has been the hottest quarterback in the league. You know, I'm going to ask this is a very easy question. You know, how did the Cowboys try to slow down Aaron Rodgers in that passing attack? I know Jordy Nelson looking like he probably won't play, but, I mean, what's the key to try to slow down Rodgers and try to make the Packers' non-existent running game beat you this weekend?
Well, they're going to have to get a pass rush from one of the orphans, you know, like David Irving, a complete no-name, picked up off Kansas City. He had his breakout performance against Green Bay at Lambeau Field. You remember that earlier this year where he had like 3 forced fumbles. He was NFC Defensive Player of the Week off of just 19 snaps. It was insane. So they're counting on David Irving to wreak some havoc for a possible breakout moment for him. They're counting on Tank Lawrence, who's been dealing with some injury issues. Tank, you know, had a career season last year playing opposite of Greg Hardy. And then they're going to rely on Sean Lee having an all-pro game like he's had an all-pro season. And then their secondary is finally healthy. Morris Claiborne is coming back in this game. He got knocked out by Sean Lee in that Green Bay game. Brandon Carr has been pretty solid this season. Orlando Scandrick in the slot. They got a kid, I believe, in the 6th round named Anthony Brown that has had a fantastic year. And then J.J. Wilcox has been hitting hard, and Barry Church has had a nice season. So I don't think they're going to blitz Aaron Rodgers a lot. Rod Marinelli doesn't like the blitz. Aaron Rodgers is number 1 in the league against the blitz. So they're going to have to rely on some of these orphans to create some pressure up front, because that's what really killed the Cowboys in the 2004. Everyone remembers the 14 game at Lambeau in the playoffs for the Dez catch, non-catch. Well, it was also about not getting to Aaron Rodgers. He had all day to throw like he did in that second half against the Giants.
One of the things I want to see, and Aaron has, he's just a guy that can wave a magical wand with the football. I agree. Dallas is going to have to do something. But with this game, I'm wondering if Dallas has enough in his secondary to cover up some of the things that they can do offensively. Now, they seem to be very comfortable with being able to not have the run game where they want to have it, but yet being able to complete these passes. What do you think about that with the matchup?
Well, you can't rely obviously, Jordy Nelson not being there is going to be huge. And they still have Randall Cobb, who had 3 touchdowns against the Giants, and they still have Devontae Adams. But, you know, you're not going to be able to rely on 4 turnovers that Green Bay gave you in the first matchup. But, you know, this, again, it's hard for me right now, even though I've been proven wrong all season long, it is hard for me to believe that even though it's going to be perfect conditions inside AT&T Stadium, that the secondary is just going to get absolutely torched when they don't have Jordy Nelson. I mean, Green Bay is so one-dimensional. I basically view this as an all-around Cowboys team with an elite offense, the best offensive line of football, controlling the game, running it down their throat like they did in the first matchup, and then causing Green Bay to throw from behind. And no matter how good you are, when you're throwing from behind and you know that that's coming and you're the defense, we all know this, guys watching football forever, that's going to be an advantage for your defense. So the Cowboys offense, running game, offensive line has been basically half of their defense this year. So Aaron's going to throw it. He's going to put up numbers. He's going to put up points. But hopefully for the Cowboys, the Packers are playing from behind. The worst thing, the biggest fear for Cowboy fans, and this is why some people are clamoring for Romo, is getting involved in a shootout. You don't want Dak Prescott having to match Aaron Rodgers throw for throw, touchdown for touchdown. No one except maybe Tom Brady wants that type of scenario in the entire league. So that's, I think, how the Cowboys, that's their formula for winning this game.
Of course, we're being joined by the voice of the Dallas Metroplex from 105.3, the Fan Morning Show, Sean Sharif. And, Sean, I couldn't agree with you more about everything you just said. But I guess since they all danced around it, I'll ask about the elephant in the room. You know, based off that sketch from Zeke's accident the other day, have they been able to find that suspect?
What an awesome drawing that was. Those drawings always creep me out. I remember watching America's Most Wanted growing up, and I'd be scared to death looking outside my window because of a gray and white sketch drawing of someone who's just murdered 19 people, and that's what it looked like for Aaron Rodgers. So they haven't caught him yet, but hopefully the Cowboys defensive line will be able to catch him after that little minor accident with Zeke.
Well, you know, you are able to hold somebody for 48 hours, I believe. I don't know if Texas is like Georgia, but you can hold them 48 hours with little to no evidence. So if they want to do that about Friday night, that would be great.
I agree with you. There's a lot of different laws here in Texas. We won't get into any gun discussions because people can't handle gun discussions or politics, but I'm with you.
Texarkana. So, hey, I've got a question for you, Sean, related to one of the comments that we made on an earlier show earlier in the year, especially when Dallas was at their height. And I think, you know, is probably instrumental in what Atlanta has been able to do here offensively is Dak Prescott seemed to rise above what was probably some noise in the locker room from Dez Bryant. Get me the ball, get me the ball, get me the ball. How much of that, you know, in the last few games, it seems as if he was trying to maybe force it a little bit more to Dez and get him a little bit more involved. But how much of that have you been hearing about, you know, locally as to, you know, how Dak has been handling that?
Well, you know, to be honest, I think that this is the advantage, you know, the disadvantage, I should say. I'll give some of the national guys a break because, you know, they got to talk about all the teams, so you aren't going to have as intimate of a knowledge of everyone as we do, focusing on one team and going into the locker room in Frisco every single day. The Dez spoiled brat crying for the ball narrative, it's old, it's stale, it's extinct. It's done. Like, there's been none of that this entire year. And Dak set the tone in training camp. We were in Oxnard, California, when Dez Bryant ran a route that Dak Prescott did not like. And here you go with a kid who's taking his first snaps after Kellen Moore got hurt. And he goes up to Dez and corrects him and is like, this is not the right route I wanted you to run. And Dez, we were waiting for Dez to snap on him, you know, pile drive him into the ground. He didn't do it. To it.
Oh, wow.
And Dez Bryant is absolutely in love with Dak Prescott. And I know what period of the season you're talking about in terms of Dak struggling. He struggled against the Giants, and then he struggled against the Minnesota Vikings. And Dak had said after that, you know, he was trying to force things a little bit too much. And one of the strengths of Dak Prescott is really, I know this is cliche, taking what the defense gives him and spreading the ball around. When you see Witten getting a catch, Beasley, who was really his main guy earlier in the season, Dez, Terrence Williams, when you see all these guys getting the rock, you know that Dak Prescott is on his game. This is a special kid in terms of intangibles, and he really does not care about getting Dez Bryant the touches. And honestly, Dez Bryant, now a lot of this is winning. You know, guys aren't going to throw hissy fits. I'm going to be a lot more quiet when you're 13-3. Dez has not said anything about not getting the rock this season. So it really has been a perfect marriage from the very beginning.
All right, Sean, I'm going to follow up because you mentioned the 13-3, and this is a hypothetical question because I've been wondering this all year. If Kellen Moore does not get hurt in the preseason, is Dallas 13-3, and do we see Dak Prescott take over the team as fast as he did, or is this Kellen Moore's team when Romo went down?
To answer the first question, hell no, they're not 13-3 with Kellen Moore. No one could understand how Kellen Moore even had a spot on this team, except maybe he's got naked pictures of Scott Linehan, the offensive coordinator. That's Linehan's boy. That's his little project. And the Cowboys got lucky. You know, so much of this we know is luck. The Patriots dynasty was started by what? A bad call against the Raiders what do they call that game where Brady fumbled it?
Tuck rule.
The tuck rule game, right? You got to have a little bit of luck. The New York Giants beating the Patriots because of that BS catch by David Tyree. Well, the Cowboys are getting some luck, right? They had these are the quarterbacks they had over Dak Prescott on their board. They had Goff, they had Carson Wentz. Jerry Jones was so furious the day after the draft because he said he should have given up more to trade up for Paxton Lynch. And then they tried to trade up again for Connor Cook, who the Raiders snuck up and stole. Like, they wanted all those guys, and then Kellen Moore was going to start this season, And they probably would have replaced him after struggling for about 3, 4, 5 games. I don't know what happens from there, but absolutely not. This team is not where they are with Kellen Moore playing quarterback, in my opinion.
Sean, you know, you're selling the guy short. He was 49-3 at Boise State. He's the winningest coach or winningest quarterback in college football history. You're telling me he couldn't get this team to 13-3?
Man, don't make me go to my Google and pull up the good, really good college quarterbacks who were balling and dominating. And then Kellen Moore, you all might be able to throw the ball harder than Kellen Moore. He got the Johnny Damon and Chad Pennington of NFL arms. He looks like, seriously, he looks like, you see him on the sideline on Sunday, he looks like the water boy. He looks like the guy who's running back and forth with the first down markers. So with all due respect to your question, again, hell no.
I love it. I love it. Got one last question for you. With the running game and the way that Dallas has been able to do some phenomenal things with the running game, if Green Bay finds a way to plug these gaps in this hole and slow this running game down, do you feel that they still can pull this off through the passing game without having the running game if it doesn't become as effective as it's been all year?
That's the question. You know, if they load up on the run, can Dak Prescott beat Aaron Rodgers? And I'm very nervous, very, very nervous for that. I still think that Dak can throw for 2, maybe even 3 touchdowns. But Dak Prescott throwing for 4 touchdowns is probably not going to happen. I have a lot of faith in this kid that he's not rattled by the moment. He's been through way too much in his life with his mom passing away. He's handled the spotlight. He's handled the Romo situation with the utmost class. I'm not going to bet. If you tell me let's just put a number on it, all right? If you tell me that Zeke Elliott runs for 45 or 50 yards, or shoot, I'll even give you 60 yards. If Zeke runs for about 55, 60 yards in this game, I'll say that the Cowboys lose. I just don't think it's going to happen because basically no team has been able to shut down Zeke. They know the run is coming. They still can't stop it. You still got to worry about Dez over the top. You still got to worry about Jason Witten underneath. You still got to worry about Cole Beasley doing his damage. So I don't have the utmost confidence in Dak in a shootout, but I still feel pretty decent about it.
As we wrap up here with Sean Sharif.
And by the way, real quick, guys, sorry. Don't forget about Dak's legs either. Dak Russell Wilson, to me, is not a fantastic quarterback, but he makes these back-breaking runs. You see it on third down where no one's open, and it's 3rd and 6, and he takes off. Dak Prescott does not – you know, RG3's career is basically over because this guy, number one, couldn't read NFL defense. Number two, he couldn't figure out when to run and how to protect himself. Dak already has that gene. He's got that Russell Wilson gene. Doesn't run as much as Russell, probably not as effective, but he's got that gene of knowing when to take off. So that's another weapon that teams have to worry about. They'll throw in a little read option here and there. They'll throw in a little zone read. They'll throw in a little bootleg. They'll throw in a little QB sneak. So that's another weapon for Prescott and the Cowboys offense with his legs.
So I was going to say, again, no faith in Kellen Moore in his 4.940 time. I'm sure he can run too.
Man, if you ask me one more Kellen Moore question, I'm going to have Jerry call you guys himself and say, look, even Jerry doesn't believe in Kellen Moore. If I get one more Kellen Moore question, come on now. I wouldn't let Kellen Moore throw the footballs for a punt on my team versus having a guy that could Chris Jones put in the air with his foot. I wouldn't let Kellen Moore throw it for a punt.
Wow.
Wait, just
now you're
going to
get me blocked by Kellen Moore. You're going to get me blocked by Kellen Moore on Twitter. He's going to come to the studio with a shotgun on me now in Texas now because of you guys.
We all know he couldn't even throw a block on Twitter, so we're not worried about that. But
wow.
Hey, this is just payback for making fun of the Niners all those weeks ago. You know, I had to get you back sometime.
Hey, nothing personal, Cody, but we all still make fun of the 49ers.
Yeah, well,
man,
they deserve it.
What a dumpster fire. I'm sorry you got to follow that right now. What a dumpster fire.
But obviously, before you go, Sean, as like I said, we're joined by Sean Sharif from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. He's the voice of the Dallas Metroplex. Obviously, as when we had Warren on, we know which side of the coin you're on, but, you know, can you give us either a score prediction or just a prediction on how this game's going to go in Dallas?
You know, it's a 4-point spread, and Vegas, Bovada sent us the numbers today. Like, the overwhelming majority of the public is betting on Green Bay getting those points. And I could definitely see the Packers winning, but I think this is going to be a 30-27, a 28-26 type game. I see it, you know, being decided by 1, 2, or even 3 points. If the Cowboys start very, very fast, and Aaron Rodgers is forced into is pressured into forcing some throws. I could see the Cowboys maybe with a 10-point win, but he's so red hot. He's playing in perfect conditions. I really think, and after I saw what they did without Jordy Nelson against the Giants, I still think that Aaron Rodgers does a lot of damage, but I picked the Cowboys in this one about 31-27, 31-28. That's my prediction.
Definitely so. And then obviously since we are Falcons zone, what do you see in the Seattle-Atlanta game?
Ooh, this is my toughest game of the weekend. I heard you guys talking about this before. The question to me is, can you trust Atlanta? Well, there's two trust factors. Number one, can you trust Seattle on the road? We all know they're a completely different team on the road. And two, you know, Matt Ryan's my MVP. But we know that he's got, you know, kind of a Romo-esque cloud hanging over his head in the postseason, in the playoffs. I've gone back and forth. Michael Lombardi almost talked me into changing my pick because he's going to pick Seattle. But I'm going to go with Atlanta here. I just don't think that Seattle can score enough with the Falcons in Atlanta. But I even think it's more important for the Falcons to start faster than the Cowboys, because you let Seattle make some plays up front, and with that defense, and they get a pick on Matt Ryan early or something like that to control some field position. You don't trust that Falcons defense against Russell Wilson and Doug Baldwin and Jimmy Graham. But I'm going to go with the Falcons. I don't feel good about it. I'm going to go with Atlanta to score more points than Seattle because I don't trust Seattle's offense.
It's funny because it's true. Anytime we actually all agree for some reason on the show, we call that the Homer pick. So that may be the only one we all agree on this week, including our stat guy.
Well, that means that Seattle's definitely winning then.
Yeah, right? You always go against the majority.
Yeah.
John, it's been fantastic having you on. I know you're busy. You got to probably get some sleep here soon because the Sean and RJ show, New School with Sean and RJ. Are you guys still calling it that, by the way?
No, but that's another story. Okay. That's all right.
John and RJ show is on from 6:30 to 11 here in the Atlanta area. That is 5:30 to 10 out in Central Standard Time. Definitely check them out. If not, there's the podcast form. There's some other guys on the show besides Sean and RJ. They may not have as much fun as we do, but they come dang close. Sean, it's been fantastic having you on. Would love to have you on again sometime in the near future. Have a great rest of your evening.
Thanks for having me, guys. Hopefully we can do a Super Bowl preview on the way to Houston. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
And that was Sean Sharif, the voice of the Dallas Metroplex from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.